Who is he in Terminator Genesis?
I don't know. I didn't recognize the character.
That man. Shit was so bad. That was the one where, I think it was, Matt, the fucking, one of the Doctor Who guys, he was Skynet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was like the physical embodiment of Skynet.
That was the worst Terminator we ever got.
I think it is the worst one. Mm-hmm. Like, that one's fucking horrible. Yeah. Like, it's not even funny horrible.
Rise of the Machines is the least funny.
It's hilarious. Plus, you know, it's got a Mexican Terminator, so...
Yeah,
hey, respect. Big shout-out to inclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
Te voy a matar. Yo soy el Terminator. ¿Dónde está Juan Connor?
And then he's in the second season of Big Little Lies. I'm talking about Douglas Smith again. But anyway, a Canadian.
Well, good for him. Good for Canada.
And to tie it back to Black Christmas, I didn't realize we had this underlying theme that we unintentionally programmed. But to tie it back to Black Christmas, which stars, or maybe not stars is the wrong word, but
features.
But features Art Hindle, who is in The Brood. And I actually think that, so he plays Frank Carveth in The Brood, one of my favorite fucking movies of all time.
It's incredible.
If you guys haven't seen it out there, The Brood is phenomenal. And he is the main character in the film and really doesn't get any recognition for this. And he's kind of seen as like a side character. He's also in Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And then the rest of his career doesn't go so well. He's in like Porky's and Porky's 2.
By the way, Porky's 2, Porky's Revenge is one of the worst movies ever made.
Porky's 2 the next day, you mean?
Oh, Porky's Revenge is the third one.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, he's in Black Christmas, and then we have another person who's in Videodrome, who's in Black Christmas.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy who plays Barry Convex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's his fucking name? He has the weirdest face. You know, he looks like if Quado from Total
Recall. Is it Les Carlson?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. With that guy, with a face like that, less is definitely more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's ugly, is what I mean.
Okay, I think I got you. But no, so two Cronenbergs in...
Porky's was not directed by Bob fucking Clark.
Porky's also Bob Clark. Look it up, it might be...
Actually, good. I'm not 100% sure what that... Dude,
Billy Bob knows what he's talking about. He was probably on set for.
There's Porky's. No way Porky's is directed by Bob Clark.
Are you looking it up?
I'm looking it up right now. Oh my God, Bob Clark directed Porky's?
Billy Bob is a Bob expert.
Billy Bob is an expert on all things Bob. All Bobs.
Billy Bob. And also Billy. Quick, Billy Bob. How many what movies has Billy Baldwin been in?
Quick, yes, that's right.
Trying to find Porky's online was the first time I got in trouble on the computer. Canada man says. Radiohead rules.
What?
Billy Bob got a PhD. Funniest thing Cheetos ever said. Okay, so we got these two Cronenberg connections in Black Christmas, right? Yeah. And then in Santa's Sleigh, we got Douglas Smith, you know, who, again, was Nicholas Yulson, the main character, yeah. One of the main characters, one of his early roles, not as early as this, but one of his early roles is he was in Brandon Cronenberg's directorial debut, Antiviral.
Oh, I never saw that.
You never saw Antiviral?
I just saw Possessor and then the sexy one, the other one. Infinity Pool.
Infinity Pool, yeah. They're
very sexy.
No. Well, it's not great.
Okay.
But it's worth watching.
Yeah, I like Brandon.
He's also in Stage Fright, the musical comedy horror film.
Stage Fright is great. You know, let me go back. But going back to Brandon Cronenberg, let me just say, I think it's kind of a disappointment that David Cronenberg named his son Brandon. I'm just saying, I got no problem with the name Brandon itself.
Oh, I do. But you keep going.
But I'm just saying, like, it's Brandon is like, that's a mediocre name. I'm just saying, like, name a famous Brandon who you're like, oh, wow, that guy looks like a Brandon.
You know what my problem with Brandon is?
With it.
It forces you to say Brandon. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
No.
Like, Brandon, the fact that there's a Brendan A Brendan?
Brendan sounds more
respectful. And a Brandon?
Yeah.
Is automatically disqualification for both names.
Yeah, I guess. They both sound so similar. It's like when someone's name is Alicia and Alicia.
Jory, too. Jory, fuck that name.
Yeah, fuck Jory. But seriously, though, the name Brendan... Like, look, if David Cronenberg named his son Jory, that would make more sense. Like, okay, well, of course, he's fucking... David Cronenberg's a psychopath. He's going to name his son some fucking weird-sounding name. But no. Brandon? Like, the guy who made... The guy who made a movie about a woman with two vaginas who was fucked by a pair of twins, he's going to name his fucking kid Brandon? That doesn't make any sense. That's like... That's like fucking, like... that'd be like Robert Oppenheimer naming his son Jeff. You know, it's fucking crazy. Like, what? You did this and you're gonna do that to your kid?
Yeah, really? That's, no, I agree.
That's terrible. You should have named his son like something insane. Like, he should have just made up a sound, and that would have been. You're like, okay, well, of course that's what his name is. Brandon, fucking bullshit.
But he's Canadian, you know? You never know what they're going to do.
That's true. That's true. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's just trolling his own son and everyone that worships David Cronenberg, ourselves included. Like, yeah. Why the fuck would you name your name Brandon?
Well, anyway, Douglas Smith's still working.
What else is he in?
Well, he was in that movie Ouija. Do you remember that one?
Was it about the photographer or about the
board game? No, it was like a horror movie about a board game.
And then
he was also recently in that film, which I thought was dog shit, the Olivia...
Oh, Long Legs.
No. Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, I heard that was terrible.
Oh, yeah, Bruce Lee. Roger says Bruce Lee named... Welcome to the chat, Roger. Bruce Lee named his son Brandon, and look what happened to him.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. So, but, I mean, I don't know. David Cronenberg has got some kind of deal with the devil, because the fact that his son is still alive with a name like Brandon, that's something.
We have a friend named Brandon who changed his name because he hated it so
exactly.
much.
And that just shows. Like, he's like, I fucking hate my name.
Yeah.
So, if
Brandon, worst name.
Worst name. What is a worse name than Brandon? Listeners of Radio Valencia, and if you happen to be named Brandon in real life, first and foremost, I'm sorry. And second of all, ha ha ha.
That's all you got for him. Oh, by the way, I also think it's funny that this kid, Douglas Smith, he's not a kid anymore, plays a supporting role in Kevin Costner's Horizon in American Saga Chapter 1.
Oh, we should watch that. By the way, Billy Bob, you're correct. Crystal is also pretty bad, but we're going gendered here, and Crystal is the Brandon of names.
Crystal, I don't think is bad because it's normally applied to strippers.
That's true. There's no male strippers named Brandon. Like, ladies and gentlemen, get yourselves ready for Brandon.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe I could see it if it was like a Thunder Down Under kind of like.
No fucking way.
Australian named Brandon.
No, come on. Like, really?
Speaking of Australians, the other lead in Santa Slay is Emily DeRavin, and she is Australian.
Oh, yeah.
And
she can get it, by the way.
Oh, okay. Glad to have your take on that. And she was in The Hills Have Eyes remake in 2006.
Love.
And
she's also
which I thought was good.
It's great. And she was also in Lost.
She's in Lost?
She's in the
really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
she's in Lost.
And she was in Brick. She's the girlfriend that gets murdered.
Brick. Yeah. I think I didn't care for Brick.
You didn't care for Brick?
No, I love everything else he's made. Brick,
really?
Not so much.
Oh, Rian Johnson, see, I feel like every movie's gotten progressively worse.
The only thing I think that's worse than Brick would probably be... What was his fucking Star Wars movie?
The Force Awakens?
Yeah, that's probably... No, the one after that. The Last Jedi.
Oh, he did all of them, right?
No, he just directed the second one.
Oh, no, I think he did the first one.
No, the first one was directed by J.J. Abrams.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then she was in Public Enemies, which was that...
Johnny Depp?
The Johnny Depp one, yeah.
Mm.
About... Machine Gun Kelly?
No. John Dillinger.
John Dillinger, whatever. I don't fucking
know. Dude, I would be so dead. Johnny Depp.
That I appreciate The Untouchables as a film.
Oh, yeah.
But, God, I dare you to find a subject I'm... Not that you would spend your time doing this, but I dare you to find a subject I'm less interested in that shit.
Well, first off, John Dillinger was not in The Untouchables. The Untouchables was...
No. I'm talking about, like, that era.
Oh, the fucking...
Chicago.
Yeah, the crime-fighting.
Al Capone. Miss me with all those movies.
But The Untouchables is fucking good.
Untouchables is great.
Everything else, I mean, what other Chicago gangster movies were there besides Public Enemy?
Well, all the ones in the old days.
Oh, yeah, like the... Yeah, yeah,
that, with
the,
that guy with the face. Had a crazy face, that guy.
Like
the original Scarface.
Yeah, fucking, oh my god, Peter Lorre.
Yeah, Peter Lorre, yeah.
Peter Lorre, yeah, he looks like a nightmare. He looks, yeah, his face looks like it's falling off his head. It's crazy.
Wait, I want
to... Road to Perdition.
Says LOL Coop. Oh, Michael Mann, yeah, Michael Mann.
Road to Perdition, Michael Mann did Public Enemies?
Did he?
I don't know. I never seen Public Enemies.
I usually keep tabs on Michael
Mann. I did see Road to Perdition, and Road to Perdition is very mediocre.
Road to Perdition is fine, Billy Bob says. but that's interesting that Michael Mann did Public Enemies.
I think he did that after he did Collateral, because that's when he started doing all that fucking digital shit.
Oh, let me talk about a movie that gets too much credit, Collateral.
You don't like Collateral?
It's good.
Yeah.
Leave it at that.
I mean, I'd
literally watch any other Michael Mann movie over that.
I really, it's
including
not
The Keep.
The Keep is way fucking better than Collateral. I like
Road to Perdition. I think is an interesting film because it represents like a low point, kind of like I don't think Road to Perdition would have. I'm actually really interested. This came up. I've been thinking about this recently. Tom Hanks. I've been really thinking about Tom Hanks recently. Okay. Have you heard of this new movie, Here?
Oh, is that his fucking new Zemeckis thing?
Yeah.
That looks so fucking bad.
Okay, I really want to see it.
Oh, it looks terrible.
Because I think that...
I know the whole fucking gimmick. You know, Zemeckis used to be brilliant. He was one of the greats. And then he just started doing all this stupid gimmicky bullshit.
I think that his problem has always been is that he doesn't have like an identity of his own. He's kind of like a Spielberg clone.
I mean...
He doesn't have a distinctive style.
Well, then his thing is, you know what, the thing is, his style is like, let's just put Tom Hanks over into some new fucking bullshit technology I just found out about.
And I feel like he'll only do it because of Castaway. Like, you know, he like owes him that debt.
Well, like Castaway's good.
Yeah, and it also like relaunched his career.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the only, and like, Castaway is good because it's like he doesn't have to rely on all this stupid bullshit. Mm. It's like, I know, I'm going to make a movie where I'm going to put Tom Hanks through a fucking...
But then it's like, okay, so Forrest Gump, is that Zemeckis, right?
That's Zemeckis.
Okay, so like, but then there's this crazy gap that happens. I was like reading up on his career. This crazy gap that happens, like where I think it might be after Forrest Gump. It's after one of those big movies, and then he doesn't make anything until the animated one. The Polar Express.
No, he did Forrest Gump, and then he did Castaway.
Was that?
Yeah, it was Forrest Gump, Castaway, and then there was that huge gap.
No, okay, what the fuck happened?
Here's what happened. Okay, he did Castaway, and then he fucking did, Beowulf.
Beowulf, and it was such a huge flop. That's what happened.
That Beowulf was a catastrophe, and I saw Beowulf, and it is bad. It is really fucking
undisputed.
Bad.
It's like one of the worst movies
of
all time.
It's fucking horrible.
And then this weird thing happens where Tom Hanks at this point is such an institution. Like, he's almost like, And you have to forgive me here because my dad would just murder me if he heard me. But like, I always get Cary Grant and Spencer Tracy confused. So wait, no, who's the other guy who looks like Cary Grant?
There's Cary Grant,
Spencer
Tracy. Spencer Tracy's blonde.
No, not Spencer Tracy. The other tall, dark hair.
You're thinking of not William Holden.
If Jess Sarah's listening, it's
oh my god. What the fuck?
Okay. It's the one from Death Set.
It's Cary Grant and...
Spencer Grant?
No. Cary Grant and... Fuck, Simone would fucking know this. Who is Death Set?
No, that's Spencer Tracy.
Spencer Tracy.
It's another tall...
So there's William Holden, there's Cary Grant, there's...
He's tall, he's in the Hitchcock movies.
Jimmy Stewart.
Okay.
Jimmy Stewart so and Cary Grant look very similar.
So my argument is Tom Hanks has become this person. Yeah. He is the classic Hollywood actor, you know, like definition of like
a good actor.
Yeah. Okay. And so he has been rescuing these films like that he's in. Like he's in like The Man Called Otto or whatever. I watched it on the plane.
Oh God.
Terrible fucking movie. He's so charismatic and
likable
that he rescues these movies.
Although,
and it's been this thing where it's like, and like even Elvis, right?
So here's the thing, Elvis, like hot take,
dog shit movie.
Here's the thing. I wanted to see Elvis because I thought it was going to be the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I was looking for a laugh, and I was surprisingly, with the exception of Tom Hanks is garbage. I was like, well, this is actually kind of good.
I didn't enjoy it. But only because I liked Priscilla so much.
See, okay, I did not see Priscilla. I should see Priscilla. Mm. But I think because I had such low expectations with Elvis, I wound up actually enjoying it. I'm never going to fucking see a 3-hour movie again about Elvis Presley, but I enjoyed
it. Well, to me, it's like, so one thing I'll say is that Baz Luhrmann, for all the problems that he has in his films, like the spectacle is fucking
he's a amazing. Master spectacle.
Yeah. And it comes down like his movies like literally and figuratively glitter.
Yeah.
And like, I've never seen movies like that.
No, he there's
like,
no
all
one,
shine.
He's
somehow.
He can make it doesn't matter. He is the definition of just like sheer sparkle, shine, spectacle. So it's never going to look
bad. It's everything from Strictly Ballroom to
Even Australia, which
And so but on top of that, the thing that I have this problem with biopics. And we've talked about this before.
Okay.
And I think the right way to do a biopic is to pick an ancillary story.
Mm.
So that's why I think Priscilla is so smart. Because, sure, it's a biopic about Priscilla, and Priscilla is the main character. But it's also about Elvis.
Yeah.
But it's not about Elvis by doing it through Elvis.
No, it's like it's all in the peripheral, which makes it that much more interesting.
If you think about good biopics, that's what they are.
Well, let's see. What other biopics do you have? There's,
I should have had a list.
Oh my god! I agree. I think you're right. I actually think you're the most successful.
But every time they're like, "Oh, you know, we're gonna tell," and I don't think it doesn't have to be about the main character. I just think they shouldn't try to tell the whole life, right? Like Last Days is a good example.
Last Days is a good.
Try to focus on something. Well, you know,
The Steve Jobs movie.
Mm-hmm. Walk the line, Cheeto. It's pronounced biopic.
The Aaron Sorkin Steve Jobs movie is good.
Oh yeah, exactly. That's a perfect example.
That's a great fucking movie.
It's three speeches,
mm-hmm. and like it's not even really Steve Jobs is clearly the focal point, but it's always you're always watching.
It's about Wozniak. It's about behind the scenes.
That's a great. By the way, fun fact. I went to dinner the other night, and we're having the House of Prime Rib with a bunch of friends. It was great. And one of the friends who was at the dinner, he is married to a very famous friend of ours. He's married to a girl. He's married to a woman whose dad is a very, very, very famous person.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, he was talking about how like his father-in-law is like a famous musician. And he was backstage at a concert and his father-in-law and his mother-in-law and his wife were hanging out backstage with fucking Paul McCartney. Mm. He was so shy about it. He didn't want to engage because he's like, holy shit, Paul. So like, I'm just going to hang out in the back. I'm going to hang out in the dressing room or I'm going to hang out in the back and just sit on this couch while my wife interacts with this fucking legend.
Mm.
And he's sitting on the couch. And this is the story he tells. And he was like just observing what was happening. But then he noticed that this guy was sitting next to him with like, he was like sleeping on the couch next to him. And he just had like these dirty ass New Balances just on the couch. He just basically had his feet up on the couch and was just taking a nap next to him. And he was like, this is, and his wife, he was disgusted by this. Like, he was like, we're in a fucking backstage dressing room with Paul McCartney and you have your shoes up on the couch and you're sleeping? Uh-huh. What the fuck is wrong with you? And he was just more disgusted by the fact that this guy just had his feet up on the couch that he failed to realize that the person that was sitting and sleeping right next to him was fucking Steve Jobs.
What?
Yeah. Really? He didn't. But this is like Steve Jobs towards the end of his life. So he was all emaciated and shit. Yeah. And he didn't realize until he got up the couch and be like, oh, I can't sit next to this guy. And then he looked and he was like, holy fucking shit, that's Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just, you just reminded me about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is
Canada Man, as I thought this story was happening yesterday. Yeah, I was really surprised that a dead guy was on the couch next to him. I thought this was like recently.
Sorry.
Steve Jobs is back, baby. anyway, like the...
Steve Jobs, by the way, cannot get it.
He cannot get it?
He cannot.
Even not in the turtleneck?
Well, he's dead.
Oh, yeah. I forgot your rules.
That's how it goes. I'm not a necrophiliac.
I'm surprised.
you know, you're not the first person to tell me that.
Wow.
Anyway.
You want to play some more music?
Sure.
I feel like we need some more Christmas cheer. Can we actually listen to some... it doesn't have to be Christmas music, but maybe not Adam Sandler.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a big Adam Sandler.
I only actually have Adam Sandler songs. Let me find something. No, we got one. That's fine.
I'm an Adam Sandler fan, but not the music.
Okay, so we're going to listen to... So, I don't know if you know this or not, but Goldberg himself, not only was he an accomplished actor and a wrestler, but he's also quite a musician.
Oh, really?
So, I'm going to play you a little bit of...
I would love to hear that.
This is a little bit...
This is Jim Goldberg?
This is... it's Bill Goldberg.
Oh, Pat Laff. Sorry, guys. Pisma. Sorry.
Sorry.
Pisma is no longer in the studio. He went to a holiday party.
But in the meantime, we're going to listen to some of Bill Goldberg's wrestling. He's quite the piano player, so here's a little bit of this is the Goldberg Variations.
Okay. To hit the button.
Sorry. Anyway, that was
Bill Goldberg.
That was Bill Goldberg with the Goldberg Variations. Pretty. Mm-hmm. He's quite the piano player.
Yeah, Glenn Goldberg.
No, Bill Goldberg.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Anyway,
so
I thought that song was a lot longer.
Yeah. Oh, so this brought it up. Well, the reason we wanted to get into like Christmas time and the holidays, however you celebrate, is we kind of wanted to do like a year recap.
Oh, yes.
And not of the movies we watched at Basement VHS, which we are consistently talking about.
We're going to talk about the movies that we love that came out this year and the movies that we hated that came out this year.
Yeah. So where do we want to start here? I got a list of every film that I watched in 2024.
You know, I don't have a list of every movie I've seen. Wait, movies that have come out?
That came out this year, yeah.
How many movies are on your list?
Like 50.
You've seen 50 movies that came out this year?
Yeah, I'm an insane person.
No, I mean, I'm jealous. Shit.
So we got some activity in the chat. So, this Mozart, the original Moz.
Yes, that's true. That's very true.
Should have played Radiohead and said it was Bill Goldberg. I heard that Hulk Hogan cut. Real American.
I don't know what you're talking about. That was Goldberg with the Goldberg Variations. Mm. Anyway... so what? Okay, 50 movies. Okay, I've definitely seen a lot of
maybe
movies.
We focus on horror.
Let's focus on horror. Okay, what?
I got too many. I got, like, I don't really want to talk about Hot Frosty, which I embarrassingly watched.
You? Seriously? No joke, folks. Koopa has brought up Hot Frosty maybe 4 or 5 times in the last week. So
I'm just interested. And this is we talked about this on the holiday special. I'm interested in the Hallmark Christmas movie and the spinoff, which is the Netflix Christmas movie, which has taken over the mantle a little bit.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And so yeah. So Hot Frosty, had to see it. Sorry.
That's fine. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying. Mm. Oh, you just reminded me of another Christmas song I wanted to listen to.
Oh, okay. Sorry, play right now?
No. We can play it later.
All right. So, what are we going to do?
So horror. Okay, give me your top 10 horror, and then I'll give you my top 10.
I have 10 horror.
Okay, give me your top five horror.
Okay. So I'm going to go in no particular order. I loved Late Night with the Devil.
Great movie.
Thought it was a fun movie. Really liked the behind the scenes parts when the camera's off and the way they like interweave with the main narrative.
Yeah.
I thought it was clever. It was it's a period piece. It's placed in the past.
True.
But it's not super indulgy with the nostalgia of that. It does have a little too much of like the sort of buzz TV, like broadcast buzz effect going on.
But that was the thing. That was the thing back in the day. I think they were just keeping that real. Cause I do watch a lot of those. I like to periodically, no pun intended, like check out like those old 70s like dating show.
Yeah.
And I think that's all that shit is like true to form. Mm-hmm. So I kind of liked it. But you're right. It's restrained. It's not. They could have gone super over the top.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And I kind of appreciated that.
Late Night with the Devil was fun. I was here. I starred my favorite films, and I'm going to try and filter for horror. Oh, so, and one that I don't think is interpreted as horror by most people, but I think belongs on the list is Love Lies Bleeding, which I would consider almost like a werewolf movie.
Yeah, I mean, definitely this sort of transformation aspect for sure. I think it's horror with a lowercase h.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because there are some really that is definitely on my list. That's a fucking great movie. I love what is that director's name? Her name is Claire something.
Wait. I need to get this right.
But I love
Rose Glass.
What did I say? Anyway, it didn't matter.
No.
Yeah, Rose Glass. Saint Maud, which I fucking love.
Saint Maud was fucking fantastic.
That's a fucking great movie.
And also, like, so refreshing to see a horror movie based in like Brighton Beach or wherever the fuck that was.
Yeah.
Like British seaside town, which is underused for horror films.
I mean, I've never been, but I've seen enough movies to know. Like,
but this depressing place, as fuck.
Yeah, fuck yeah, I love that. And it's Saint Maud was fantastic. I mean, Rose Glass. I'm really like, she's just leveling up, because as much as I love Saint Maud, I thought Love's Light Bleeding was fucking so much. I thought it was definitely a genuinely like a step up in every direction.
Yeah. I think that's going to be someone to watch in the future.
Absolutely.
Strange Darling definitely makes my list. I think Billy Bob here really liked it too.
Strange Darling, fan fucking tastic. We're not going to talk about what happens. You should just watch it if you haven't seen
it. Yeah, it's really hard to talk about. Like, I even saw like someone had a podcast that I follow called Blank Check about Strange Darling.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand. Like, I almost want to listen to it because I can't understand how you talk about that movie without ruining the whole fucking movie. But great movie, inventive, and I think I have to put this as a disclaimer, because I think people out there will be sort of maybe turned off in the same way I was, but I don't like serial killer stuff.
Yeah, we were just talking about this the other day. I actually like serial killer movies. I know there's a bit of a point of contention in terms of whether or not serial killers fit sort of the traditional sort of understanding of a horror film, because I mean, they lean so heavily on the biopic sort of side of things.
Yeah.
Because there's not really any like.
Wait, so is it really biopic? Because I always think of myopic.
Ha ha.
Like, it's a. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that the problem with them is that when you make historical fiction, which essentially a serial killer
almost every serial killer movie is just basically loosely attached to a Dahmer or a Gein or a fucking whatever, BTK or a Gacy.
Yeah, I haven't seen IAVN. Oh, In a Violent Nature. I have seen that. Wow, thanks, Canada Man. as they call it in Canada, IAVN, is a Canadian film.
It is Canadian. Yes.
And I thought it was good. It's not in my top five.
It's in my top five.
Okay. Why don't we go to your top five?
Okay.
I think the only one that I left out, which I appreciated, was The Substance. Mm. Mostly because of just how ball to the walls fucking crazy the ending is, and it kind of saves the movie for me because I had a lot of problems with it up until that point.
What problems did you have? Well, first off, let
the
me just
80s indulgence.
Oh, you hate that shit. I know.
To me, there are parts of it where I was like, am I watching fucking Stranger Things? The aerobics, like,
but I think
80s pink neon. It's, she's, of it.
Let me look. Claire Forget? No, what is that her name? Claire's, I think it's something.
Yeah.
She's fucking brilliant. Like, she's definitely one to watch because her other movie, she's only made two movies, and the other one was a movie called Revenge, which is fucking spectacular. It's very much one of those, like, rape revenge, horror thriller movies, but it does it with such confidence and, like, just, this. It is very, very stylistic, but it doesn't, and not in the, it's not in the same sort of annoying sort of 80s sort of pastiche that I think you're very much infuriated by. I don't mind it. I understand the issues with it.
Yeah.
I don't mind it so much. I think
sometimes it works.
It does.
Like,
and I think,
like Late Night with the Devil works.
But
I think that when it's bad, it's really bad, and it's what ruined Maxine for me.
Well, Maxine's just a bad... It fails when it relies on the aesthetics as a crutch for a weak story. I think if you use it as a way to just create, like, a flair or just, like, a veneer to a great, solid story, I think it works, which is why I thought The Substance was my number one movie there. Yes, it does have that 80s aesthetic, but all that stuff right there is only just to serve just sort of like the era that it's trying to represent, like the Jane Fonda sort of superficial, like health conscious, like fanaticism that was so prevalent in the 80s. All that stuff was just pretty much just like the point of The Substance. I think it was trying to make a point that this sort of superficial.
Well, I think it's important to point out that it doesn't take place then.
Okay, it doesn't take, but I think...
Yeah,
I think,
no, which is good. It's a point to its favor.
Yeah, and it's doing... I think it doesn't take place. It's not a period film.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of those, like visual cues from the 80s, but because I think the director was trying to make a point that a lot of the stuff that was valued in the 80s is slowly coming back, I think, due to all sort of the sort of crooked, fucking despicable political climate that we're all currently a part of, and it's going to just ramp up as... exponentially, at least in terms of how the women's, because I speak on behalf of all women first and foremost.
Oh, really? I didn't know this.
Let's see,
he's a card carrying feminist.
I am a card carrying feminist. I am the ultimate feminist.
Mm-hmm.
But I think The Substance, I think, is very much trying to make a point.
Oh, the director of Long Legs has joined the chat. Since we're talking about our favorite movies of the year, I think Long Legs deserves another look. I hope it wins big time this award.
Now, you're just... I know what you're trying to do.
It's not going to work, right? That's what I want to hear you say.
Let me just finish my top five, and then we'll get back to it. But I'll just say this. The Substance was not my number one movie of the year. Straight up.
Substance,
loved
number
it.
One.
Number one for me, and then number two is In a Violent Nature.
Okay.
That
what did you like about that movie? Because I watched it, and I got to say that... Some of the kill scenes were extraordinary.
Absolutely.
I'm mostly thinking about when she's staring out at the water.
The yoga. Yeah. It's incredible.
And he says, please respect me. Yeah, Evil Lurks came out in 2023, but that was definitely one of my top ones.
Evil Lurks is also, it was in my top of last year. I loved when Evil Lurks. I thought it was fucking incredible. But In a Violent Nature, what I love...
Sorry. I hope he has a cameo in the upcoming sequel, Longer Legs.
Look, if you want me to talk about Long Legs...
I don't want you to talk about Long Legs. Please stop, chat. The Canada Man says the Foley in A Violent Nature was awful. Well, Canada Man, I feel like you should know this, but Foley is a Canadian word. AKA Dave Foley.
Dave Foley, I believe, is the inventor of the Foley sound effects that we've all come to know and cherish.
So just like maybe you just don't get it because it's so advanced.
Yeah, I think that's more than anything. That's clearly what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Okay, so
In a Violent Nature.
Why did you like it?
I loved it because I love whenever a storyteller utilizes uses like basically. In a Violent Nature is an art film disguised as a shitty slasher. And I love this juxtaposition. This is like marrying of the high and the low, whether in any genre, any medium. I just fucking love it. And it's an art film in that sense. It's a meditative, like, essentially most people didn't like it because they thought it was boring, but that's the point. You have a slasher film. Slash movies are inherently just like exploitative and spectacle and just, you know, flash and all this thing. So you never think about a slasher as like a thing that is meant to be meditative and slow.
I think about like our favorite slashers, and isn't Halloween like a meditative and slow film
But there's still a lot of tension there. Mm. And there's a lot of anxiety, right? Mm. In a Violent Nature, none of that stuff is really utilized because the whole movie is just like so many like long continuous shots. And it basically deals with this sort of like monotony and sort of this like meditative practice. But then all of a sudden when you find yourself in this place where you're just very much at peace.
Begging for a kill,
right,
so to speak.
Well, I wouldn't even say you're big because you are just so enthralled with this like sort of beautiful cinematography that you forget like, oh yeah, this is a fucking killer. And then by the time you have sort of been lulled into this like place of like of harmony and relaxation, he comes up and just destroys somebody brutally, and then you just kind of like shook and a little bit loose out of your sort of your
hypnosis.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And they just used it, and this is a movie that was made by somebody who clearly studied the genre, the subgenre, and all of the tropes. So all those tropes are beautifully executed, but they're married with this beautiful, artfully shot, execution of all these really insane things. So that's what I loved. Just the high and low of it. I love that.
I could see that. The thing that interested me about it was like the. I wondered, the POV to me, It didn't read as slasher to me. It read very game-like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it felt very stalker video game
to
me.
Sure, absolutely.
So, and I was interested in that, but then, I don't know, like, it didn't carry me all the way. But I think that what you're saying is true. That's on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good movie. It's so Canadian. There's something about it where the tone is so off that I appreciate it.
Yeah,
it was worth being made. It's worth being mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else that I didn't mention that's on your top five?
Well, number three. Mm-hmm. Is Terrifier 3.
Oh, God. I knew it was coming.
Terrifier 3, baby. Let's fucking go.
Billy Bob says, wood splitter kill so dope. I thought that was a good one.
It was a great kill. It was a great kill. Mm. But Terrifier 3 is number three for so many reasons. Number three with a bullet, Terrifier 3. I love the Art the Clown saga. I love the Sienna saga. I'm in it. I love it. I love the thesis. I love the execution. It's a movie that appreciates the gore hounds. It appreciates
the craft. She just says, God damn it, make it short, Matthew.
Let's just say Terrifier 3 is the best of the three, and I can't wait for Terrifier 4, and some even say Terrifier 5.
Wow.
So let's see what goes. Damon Leone, let's see where he's taking us. Mm. Number four, Late Night with the Devil.
Okay.
Straight up, for all the reasons that you mentioned, but I just put it on four for my list.
Oh, yeah.
And then number five, I'm going to go with Heretic.
Heretic. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that.
Heretic. Loved Heretic.
Mm.
I would happily watch that again. It's just basically Paddington 2.
Oh, Canada Man says, it's for kids. Netflixified Terrifier. Terrifier 3.
No, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Terrifier.
I haven't seen it.
You have to see Terrifier 3. It's incredible. I don't think Canada Man has even seen Terrifier 3. He's just seen the highlights.
No, what do you mean, dude? He's Canada Man.
First of all, Terrifier 3 is not from Canada.
No, I know, but he's Canada Man, and he knows things. Billy Bob T says he's seen Terrifier 3. Billy Bob, what do you think of Terrifier? It's garbage.
No, that's not true. You're wrong. Billy Bob 3 does not agree with that, with this imposter Billy Bob.
Billy Bob.
Wow, your accent's gotten worse.
I think it's gotten better if you ask me. I believe I have the best.
Okay, worst horror movie. Oh, no, Heretic. Do you want to talk about Heretic?
Heretic, I loved Heretic because Heretic is essentially Paddington 2 with Mormons.
I never thought of that. Wait, hold on. Did you get that from somewhere?
No, no, that's just what it is. The whole time I'm watching, it's like, he's just...
Why is that not a meme?
It is. That's all it is. It's fucking what it is. That's why it's incredible.
Oh, my God.
Paddington 2, one of the
greatest...
I really
like that. That's really true. Heretic, which I say heretic, and I'm trying to stop saying it. I know it's wrong, but I can't stop saying it. It's like if you put Art the Clown into Euphoria. Wow, now I really want to see it.
Yeah, that sounds fucking dope.
He wants to see Heretic. So I think it's worth seeing. I think the part that bugs me about it, and I don't want to give too much away because I don't want to ruin it for Canada Man, but I think that the conversational sort of
thesis
and theological tone of it is reductive and annoying sometimes, and I think that the you have to excuse it, because what it's doing in a film is it's sort of turning it into very obviously from the trailers, a conversation about religion.
Yeah.
And I think that that's okay, and we can't expect their conversations about religion to be as good as ours or as good as anyone who actually knows shit about this, you know? And I think that they actually point to themselves a lot. Like, I think that the main, one of the heroines sort of retort, kind of like criticizing Hugh Grant's argument is very on point, and it's almost like directed at the film itself.
Yeah,
you missed all this shit when you were talking about this or when you were thinking about this film.
True,
right? And I do think that that one thing that I liked about it, which I think all good horror movies that have religious undertones have, which some of my favorite horror movies do have, the one I'm thinking about is Ken Russell's The Devils.
Oh, The Devils is fucking great.
Is that it has, is that there's this representation of the sublime, and I think that Heretic, one thing that it did well is it brought that into it. I wish they would have spent more time with it, because when she steps outside and the sunlight is sort of a transcendental experience, like, I wanted to be in that space more.
Yeah, they could have sat with that a little bit longer. I agree.
Yeah, because it gets sort of like formulaic and corny.
Yeah, at some parts,
like Silence of the Lambsy, and then I just wanted more time in the sublime. Which other more modern movies, like Beyond the Black Rainbow, like just off the top of my head?
Well, I would even say Saint Maud.
Yeah, Saint Maud. Oh my God, Saint Maud spends the whole movie in the sublime.
Yeah,
wait. I'm ignoring this. Okay. So honorable mention, VHS Beyond.
I watched that, and yeah, it's fucking great. VHS Beyond is definitely, I would put that in my top 10.
Okay.
It's very cheesy. I mean, it's three stories, and it's an anthology. I've only seen VHS 1 and VHS Beyond. I know there's like 5 of them at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's VHS 1, 2, and then I think 3 is just this. They start coming up with all these different names. It's like VHS 94 and then VHS Viral. But I did enjoy VHS Beyond. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
Fun. Just genuine fun, just like camp, sci-fi silliness. Highly recommended.
And then we got an entry so this will launch us into our worst horror movie discussion, but we have an entry. Also, if anyone wants to call in and talk about their favorite or least favorite horror movies, you can call us at 415-PISS-HAT. And you can be on the air. But Billy Bob's entry is Kaylin Cronenberg's Humane. Oh, by the way, can we talk a little bit about, first you name your kid Brandon, and then you name your kid Caitlin.
Wait. Okay. I feel like a dummy. He has a daughter?
Yeah. She made Humane.
I didn't see Humane. Uh-huh. And he named his daughter Caitlin?
Yeah.
Hold on. Fucking Crone, David, what are you doing? What are you? You name one kid Brandon and the other kid Caitlin? Mm-hmm. Okay, you are either like the most boring like dad at home in the history of dads.
He puts all of his energy into films, it's and he got, has like, no time, he, no, that, nothing left over.
He's probably so mm-hmm. he probably has a genuinely wholesome like household. Because you fucking named your kids Caitlin and Brandon? That's fucking insane. He probably plays like Shoots and
They're
Ladders.
Like baby book names.
Yeah. What the fuck? Okay. Well, okay. I haven't seen Humane.
So Humane, we haven't seen it. The premise to me looks so fucking
what
dumb.
What's the premise?
Okay. So it's like it's in the future or near future. And they have introduced this method of population control, which is that everyone from the house has to like sacrifice one person.
So like China.
Okay. Jesus. So like you oh God, Canada Man, now you're triggering me. Because in number one with a bullet in my worst five of the year. Or should it go from five since we're on the back
wow,
end of this?
You
spectrum?
Actually you went with I see that. I see where this is going. I'm here.
Like, number five with a bullet, I saw the TV glow. I was enraged by this film. I think that if I'm being generous, an interesting trans story at the bottom of it, but it's buried with so much nostalgic bullshit, like that they are talking in circles the entire fucking movie. It's like, you know when you have these conversations with someone, like, it almost felt like, and I feel like I would know this because I watch Love Island. Uh-huh. It feels like the movie is a series of Love Island conversations.
Wow.
Where the two characters that are in it are... it was so shit. Okay, thank you. I saw the TV. Her previous one was so much better. Okay, I need to watch that. But the conversations that are being had are like these weird circular conversations where nothing is being said. It's like, you remember that TV show? Yeah, I remember it. I loved it. Oh my God, it was so weird. It was such a weird TV show, wasn't it?
That's
and
the movie?
I'm just like, someone wrote this dialogue? Like, there's literally nothing being illuminated. There's no tension being built. And then, like, there's a good scene at the end. Hardcore, good, metaphoric, transformation, gender-illuminated scene in the end. And I liked it. And then it just fucking ends. It's the only good scene of the movie.
I love because this is I'm usually the person who is espousing vitriol and hatred towards overrated movies, so it's nice to be on the other side of the lens. Let me just say,
an honorable before we get into more movies we hated, honorable mention also yes, Speak No Evil U.S. because original Speak No Evil came out last year. Speak No Evil U.S. very much liked it.
Yeah.
Different ending.
Oh yeah,
different moments. Like very. Like,
did you see the original Speak No
yes.
Evil?
Yes. Loved it.
The original Speak No
Way
Evil.
Way more depraved.
Yeah.
But mostly because of the ending, and I don't want to give it away.
Sure.
But.
Well, so I came in... When I found out that they were making Speak No Evil, the original one is incredible. Fucking amazing. I was very reticent. I was like, oh, why this movie just came out. Why are you making it? I was very... But then I found out that it was directed by... this guy named James Watkins, who made one of the most underrated fucking horror movies of the last 20 years, a movie called Eden Lake.
I haven't seen it. No.
It's fucking crazy. I mean, it's very much in the evil poor subgenre of horror, but it's fantastic. It's brutal. It's mean. Like, it's a mean movie. So when I found out that he was doing a remake, I was like, okay, well, maybe it might be good. And yeah, it's fucking great. Yeah,
he nails it.
He really does. I mean, even with the different ending, you're like, holy shit, this is fucking...
Mackenzie Davis, yeah.
And Mackenzie Davis. Well, you... Mackenzie Davis, she can get it.
I didn't care for Cuckoo either. I really wanted to like it.
It looked really good. You hated it. I didn't hate it.
I just didn't like it.
Was it mediocre?
It's mediocre.
Okay.
I think it goes without mentioning, but Long Legs. I know it's in your bottom five. It's not in my bottom.
I don't know why it's not.
Because I don't think it's that bad.
It is, though. Here's the thing, though, it is.
I have another entry, and it's exactly what we've been talking about or hinting at this entire time, and it is the Salem's Lot remake.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Which I thought was not good.
Uh-huh.
And also, why are we remaking Salem's Lot? I am sick of this Stephen King, I'm gonna die soon, bullshit.
Well, you know what?
Everything's getting made again.
Well, you know what Osgood Perkins' next movie is?
Yeah, The Monkey. And I'm excited about that movie, but I'm also like, you realize this could just be an original concept. Why do we have to even tie it to that? Say you are inspired by the story. Yeah. You know, it's so weird.
Look, we know how I feel about Long Legs. It's a fucking...
Cheetah says Mitsu might need therapy for Long Legs.
No, I don't. I don't. I think it's just...
It'd have to be a long couch.
Look, the Long Legs jokes are appreciated. They are funny. The Longer Legs sequel title is inherently hilarious. If anything, I would say the jokes about how much I hate Long Legs are actually better than the movie Long Legs. That is the only positive thing I will say about Long Legs, because it's fucking garbage. And if anybody who thinks that it's good, you just, I may respect you as a person, but you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Did I tell the Long Legs story already on the air about, how I watched it and there was a small child in the film?
You did tell me about that. Yeah. Fuck.
And, every time something scary happened, the child, which is rarely, the child would start bawling its eyes out, get taken out of the theater, and then get brought back in immediately.
That little kid is a fucking pussy.
Maxine is in my bottom five.
Maxine is much better than Long Legs, and I did not like Maxine. I would Maxine is
yeah, but we're going all of them, all the worst,
all the worst,
or the bottom five.
I mean, Maxine is. I'd say Long Legs is the worst, straight up. I think the worst.
No, I saw the TV Glow is the worst.
I haven't seen that.
I want you to see it.
I'll watch it, and then I'll be like, hey, this is pretty fucking bad.
I saw the TV Glow is the worst. I think second for me is not Salem's Lot, because it has enough of the original content where it does have moments that are genuinely scary.
Okay.
But number two is by far The Watchers. That movie is fucking dog shit. Did anyone else in the chat see The Watchers?
I did not see The Watchers. I mean, come on. Who the fairies? Fairies? Ugh. Come on.
I don't know what's going on there, but since we were talking about Caitlin Cronenberg, I thought we should talk about Shyamalan's daughter,
who
directed The Watcher.
All right. Wait, what?
Luke watching all the shit. Yeah, I really have.
You have.
I really have watched
it all. I will say, okay, Long Legs is the worst movie I've seen this year, straight up. The only movie, Long Legs is worse. The only thing I can see, as far as my other bottom movies I've seen this year, they're not necessarily horror. Venom, The Last Dance.
Venom was a new low in franchise.
I just saw that apparently, so after Kraven the Hunter, which I want to see now, because apparently it's fucking hilarious, much in the way that I think Madame Web is supposed to be hilarious, which I haven't seen yet, but
I watched Madame Web.
I hear it's hilariously bad.
I liked it.
Yeah. So apparently Kraven the Hunter has received a lower rating than Madame Web on Rotten, which makes me want to see even more.
Yeah.
But, fun fact, after Kraven, there are no more Sony Spider-Man movies.
That's probably for the best.
Kraven is the last one. They're calling it quits after that. Hmm. I did see a still of one of the, I guess there's a Rhino character in Kraven the Hunter, and I saw a photo of it. It looks fucking insane. Hilariously bad.
I heard someone compare it to the rhino that births Ace Ventura. That's the level of makeup.
I'm so excited. I'm so pumped. We have to go see Kraven. We have to go. If we saw Venom the Last Dance, we have to go see Kraven the Hunter.
Cheetah, are you trolling? We almost got through a whole episode without a fun fact.
Did I just do a fun fact?
I think you did. Was Kraven a fun fact?
Kraven was not a fun fact.
You didn't say fun facts. It's the last Sony.
Oh, did I say that? I did. Maybe I did say. Yeah, it is the last Sony Marvel, Sony Spider-Man movie. So we have to go see it. I mean, we saw Venom. So
wait, there's not going to be another Far From Home, whatever.
No, that's the MCU. That's okay. The Spider-Man. That's MCU. Hmm. No more Sony Marvel movies. So we have that to look forward to.
What I don't understand is how they were trying to. It seemed like for a second they were trying to tie it back into the.
They tried.
Like
they
Venom just, ends up in his universe.
And then they just like ditched it. So I don't know.
Okay.
What you saying? What is it? Oh yeah.
They're talking about Aggro Drift.
Oh yeah, we didn't see that. I haven't seen that one yet. I didn't see that. Is that technically a horror movie?
I don't know.
But okay, say we saw Venom. All right, what are some other horrible movies that you've seen this year?
Oh, not in the horror genre.
Sure.
Actually, I have one more in the horror genre.
What is that?
Blink Twice.
Ooh, you saw
Holy
that?
Holy shit, is was this movie bad.
Isn't that the Epstein movie?
It is so clearly an Epstein movie, you would not even think for a second that it wasn't an Epstein movie.
That's...
And when you're watching it, like, so speaking of rape revenge, which I think is a very complicated and nuanced genre, which has been done in many different ways, it is so insulting, this film, I think. Like, I really want to have different voices and opinions on this, because when I watched it, I thought, like, it brings this, like, girl boss energy to it, which is, like, so the wrong tone for what just happened to these women. That, like, their revenge is so, like, slow motion walking with shit blowing up behind them.
Oh, no!
You know, kind of like Bad Boys revenge, and I'm just like, what the fuck is happening
right now? Is that seriously what they do?
Maybe I interpreted it wrong,
There's a
slow motion, like, baseball bat over your shoulder.
What music is playing in the background?
I don't even know.
Is it like fucking Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive or some shit?
Just fucking shit, dude. What is it, Zoe Kravitz or Zoe is it her daughter?
It's Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz
Zoe Kravitz is the daughter.
Is the daughter of...
Lenny Kravitz and Lisa Bonet.
Lisa Bonet, okay, yeah. Zoe Kravitz, I'm sorry, stop making movies. Like, not even like, hey, it's your first movie, good job, you'll get better, just don't make anymore, please. Like... Wow. I'm sorry.
Well, what's so bad about it? I believe you. I'm just curious. Like, what's the...
Billy Bob, Bad Boys 3 is one of the worst films I saw, but it does have this one scene that is pretty fun.
Okay, first of all, it's actually not Bad Boys 3, because Bad Boys 4. Bad Boys for Life was the one that came out, and then the new one is Bad Boys Forever or something?
No, this one's Bad Boys for Life. I wrote it down.
No. I tried to watch... Bad Boys 4, whatever the fuck it's called, and yeah, it's fucking bad. Like, not good bad, like bad.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy, because Bad Boys 3 was also horrible.
I just think, like, the fact that it's not Michael Bay anymore is a serious problem, because Michael Bay is so funny, like, you're having such a good time. Like, look, if Bad Boys 4 was more like Ambulance, I would have loved it.
Oh, fuck yeah. I mean, honestly, though, I kind of respect Michael Bay, because... How you can... And I'm not even trying to be cheeky or fucking ironic. Bad Boys 2 is legitimately incredible. Mm. It's a fucking work of art. And I'm not trying to be tongue-in-cheek. No. Bad Boys 2 is an incredible film. And I kind of respect that he's like, you know what? I'm not going to make a better Bad Boys movie after this, so give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
So I respect him in that regard. Unfortunately, because I like the Bad Boys characters, Marcus Burnett and Mike Lowry.
Wow, dude. I didn't know you were such a fan.
Dude. Yeah. I love the first Bad Boys, and Bad Boys 2 is like one of the greatest action movies ever fucking made.
So here, it brings us to a more interesting problem, which is like, okay... We have a serious condition right now that is affecting the United States of America.
Uh-huh.
And just to be clear, the movies I brought up are all U.S. movies, with the exception of In a Violent Nature.
Yeah.
There were other foreign films I watched. I didn't include them on my list because I was trying to keep it concise. Because
America's back, baby.
Yeah. But the issue here is that... The top 10 box office performing films of the year, this year and last.
Yeah.
There wasn't one original concept in them.
I know.
So they were all either remakes, sequels, or reboots.
Yeah.
And the... And it's a serious problem because what happens is you get shit like Bad Boys 4. It's not because those movies are bad, even though I think some of them are, yeah. even though they performed well.
Yeah.
But it's because since they're the top 10 top performing,
yeah.
it means that you get all this other dog shit
yeah.
that you have to sift through.
Yeah.
And because I'm sorry, but I won't. I know you guys will tear me apart for this, but the reason I watch these movies is because I can't trust a fucking critic.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean? Like, and some movies do get thrashed, and yeah. they're actually good.
Speed Racer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, like, I have to see Roadhouse, because I know that people said it was dog shit.
Yeah.
But it's Roadhouse.
Yeah, of course.
And, like, you have to watch it.
I want to see Conor McGregor fight. Hey, Jake Gyllenhaal, you think you can take me in a fight, do you? I'm Conor McGregor.
So, really, what I'm asking for is stop making these movies that don't have original concepts, and then it will have a better effect on the ones at the bottom of the totem pole,
yeah.
because they won't be...